Mind control. The topic is irrelevant, or rather, should I say, the object, the symptom. It's only a symbol. Control applies to every single thing in existence. It is a quality of mind, for mind is the director, the controller, the only creative activity, the only capacity, capability, facility, functionality, the only intelligence, wisdom, knowing, the only action, all of which are required for performance. Performance is required to have power, because power is merely a measurement of performance, or let's say performance capability. In other words, performance that proves its power, because power is merely a product of performance. Whether we are talking about a single activity, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a single element or an entire business, a single child or wife or parent or brother or sister, any relative at all, or all of them, whether it is spiritual advancement, whether it's a pet, a family pet, it does not matter, because there is only one in control, and that is the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. All of those qualities mentioned are attributed to mind, which is one of the seven synonymous terms for God. The others are spirit, which is substance, soul, which is spiritual sense, because spirit is the only substance, principle, which is system and structure, life, which is exercising the qualities of God, truth, which is keeping on the path to God, keeping our standard at the level of perfection, and love, which is the fulfillment, the wholeness. And we only gain that by being the motherly quality of nurturing, nurturing each of the qualities of God and the exercise thereof. And the four operators, just like math, has add, subtract, multiply, and divide, which are the operators, the basic ones that are applied to the nine digits, plus zero, total of 10 digits. The operators for the system of divine metaphysics that Mary Baker Eddy refers to on page 146 of Science and Health are the city four square, which is the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word being the facts about God, and we can't even begin to know about the words about God, the facts about God, unless we have exhausted our energy on trying to make a belief of life, truth, intelligence, and matter be successful. It's doomed to failure, but we have to come to that point where we realize that that is a dead end. So that's the Word, which is the facts about God, and then the Christ is the translation. And of course, Jesus was the expert on that, in which he would translate whatever was visible to a spiritual perfection. He'd see a blind man, he'd see people that were lame, lepers, dead, sick, sinful, didn't matter. He would translate them to their real reflection and manifestation of God, translation, interpretation. It's the viewpoint. The viewpoint projects itself to the experience. Christianity is demonstrating the facts about God and combining that with the translation and interpretation. Then we can prove what we believe to be true to be either true or false. False means we've made a mistake in the formula. True means that we bring about healing. And the fourth step, the fourth operator, is science. And science means we've been successful with the demonstration, and therefore we are living it. We are it. We are demonstrating automatically what Jesus demonstrated, and Mary Baker Eddy, and other great messengers of God. The object of the control is not important, because they are all applied in the same way. In other words, the factors, the formula is applied in the same way, and the object is irrelevant, because any object will yield to the formula. For example, suppose one has a problem with what is deemed to be their physical body. Of course, our real body is everything in consciousness. But let's say we're just talking about our body. Suppose we hurt our arm. It feels weak. It feels like there's a pain, something discordant. We could have hit it against a door as we were walking out or running through the door quickly and turned a corner too quickly and hit the edge of the door. Anything. Could be an accident we see on a street. Could be a stray dog. Could be someone that is crippled that we see on the street. Could be someone that called us by mistake and got the wrong number and they sounded like they had a real problem. It doesn't matter. Mary Baker Eddy says in a letter to a student, and the title was Vision, she said, can you focus no matter what comes your way? Well, a good Christian Scientist is going to let God control the thoughts that are surrounding any and every event that comes to thought. Everything that comes one's way is going to have that applied to it. And if we're really on our toes, we will do it like Jesus did and Mary Baker Eddy did. Mr. Rawson, another great practitioner. Mr. Winslow. Joel Goldsmith. He scheduled appointments every 15 minutes, and they walked out of there healed. He was so successful that the practitioners that were in the same building in Boston went to the board of directors and they said, you got to get rid of him. He's taking all of our business away. Well, he wasn't taking the business away. The truth was, he was the one that knew the best understanding about what truth is. And he had utilized it to heal people, four of them an hour. He had his office packed and they left healed, every single one of them. He knew there was only one mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. He knew there was only one substance, which was spirit. He knew that there was only one soul, which is spiritual sense. He knew there was only one principle, which is the system and structure that is always in balance, always in harmony. Oiled, lubricated, where there is no friction whatsoever in any single part of the principle. He knew that life was eternal. It was not dependent upon a belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, but it was eternal. It was far above the concept of what is believed to be a material birth and therefore limited by all of the things that are related to matter or mortal mind or hypnotism, mesmerism, any kind of ism or ology you want to think of. they're all false. Mary Baker Eddy said there is no such thing as a mortal mind because mind is immortal. He knew that. He also knew that truth was consciousness, that truth was motive, that truth means that we need to have a standard and we need to stick to it without any variance. And love, he gave his life to helping others. An excellent example of a wonderful, experienced practitioner that could heal instantaneously. And he did it for something like 16 years before they finally chased him out of town. And of course, just like the students of Mary Baker Eddy that were excommunicated from her church, not by her, but by a very naive board of directors, that set him free. He moved to a completely different location and another state. Then another state after that. He established a following that was very wide and broad because he was preaching the truth. He was totally dedicated to the works of Mary Baker Eddy. All of his healing was based on a clear understanding of exactly what she was teaching. That is said because his success was phenomenal. Not really. His success was natural, just like the success of Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy and Frederick L. Rawson and Wentworth Winslow and other great healers. Of course, we know the real healer is the truth. Mind is the medicine, and truth is the healer. Love is the lubricant that makes it all work. Principle is the system and structure that must be followed in order to make it work. Does 3 times 7 ever fail to be 21? No, because it is proven that that is the mathematical table for 3 times 7, or adding up 3 7 times, or adding up 7 3 times. It always comes up with the same answer. Christian Science always comes up with the same answer if we use the formula properly, if we understand it and utilize it. What is the formula? The formula is knowing what God is. What is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? Helen Wright did a tremendous amount of wonderful research on that. And she wrote a book called Your Divinity Revealed, and she has chapters 4 through 7 devoted to the 7 synonymous terms. If one would study those chapters earnestly, like it was their life, which it really is, they will learn a tremendous amount about each of those 7 synonymous terms for God. She says it in such a beautiful way. She has a great sense of humor, has jokes sprinkled throughout the text, and yet the dynamite, the pearl of great price, is in every sentence. She shows how the individual terms for each of the 7 synonyms unfold from one to another, and then how they work together. In other words, the terms of mind, how they work with the terms of spirit, and so forth. Another one that is really a great example of having some beautiful seminars, and all of these are on our website for free. If you want to get something for nothing, you can do it. If you want to invest so that you'll get much more, then we make it very easy for you to do so. The other person I was referring to, individual, is Maria Brunson, B-R-U-N-S-O-N, B like boy. She produced a lot of seminars, thousands of dollars worth of seminars, and she's consented to let us give them away free. Again, they're free if you want something for nothing, but if you really want something, then you will donate something to the website. Because we have a staff of programmers, and someone has to pay for those. They are not volunteers. All of the rest of us are volunteers. We volunteer our life to the Institute. I work 7 days a week. Others work 7 days a week. And we donate our time because we know the value of what it is that needs to be done, and we're doing it. So Mr. Goldsmith really contributed a tremendous thing to everyone that wants to understand God. So Maria Brunson Seminars and Helen Wright's book, well, she has many books. In fact, she's the only one that has done a serious scientific study of the first edition of Science and Health, the one that was published in 1875. And Mary Baker Eddy, to this day, well, to this day, when she was here speaking, indicated the value of that first edition, because that was dictated to her, and she produced it as it was dictated. But she had to water down the later editions because people didn't want to accept the straight truth that was in 1875. Well, Helen Wright tore that thing apart, published several volumes, one on each chapter. Tremendous work of great value. Highly recommend it. And one of our favorite actors, who used to be on the movie called Mr. Ed, who has a beautiful voice for recording, he recorded most of the volumes. So you can listen to them while you drive, or while you're working in the kitchen, or when you're in your study just wanting to intently listen and possibly even read the text as the voice comes across the speaker. Control. Doesn't matter what the topic is. There's only one thing in control, and that is that incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. Incorporeal. No body. It's not a brain inside somebody's skull. Divine. We talk about divine from time to time. We say that's really divine. Of course, it's usually referring to something that has a material base and we think it's perfect. Of course, nothing with a material base is perfect. But divine means that it is the ultimate standard. Supreme. Again, nothing above it. It is it. An infinite. No limitation. Ever expanding. Mary Baker Eddy says infinite progression is concrete being. Concrete being a symbol for something that is really solid and strong. Concrete being. Our being is on a wonderful, solid foundation if we are making continuous progress. Infinite progress is concrete being. Or infinite progression, she says. So it's up to us. What do we want to direct our attention at controlling? Do we want to understand that the Mary Baker Eddy Institute website cannot be interfered with? Or is it okay if it goes down? And that's okay, you'll just go somewhere else or you'll do nothing. Is it important to you? Well then, give it some good thought. Get clear in your own mind that nothing can interfere with the control of the website, because it's really under the control of the one infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. How about your job, your family, your wife, your children, your parents, friends? We need to know that we can only see them And we don't try to change their mind. We don't try to get into their thinking. It's only our own consciousness that we need to be clear on. And that is that every contact we have, every one we have, every relationship, every individual that our thought rests on, we have to see them as the manifestation of the one and only perfect God. Every situation, if we see an accident, I think I already mentioned a stray dog or someone in need out on the street, whatever, we have to reverse it. We have to do the translation like Jesus did and Mary Baker Eddy did. Mary Baker Eddy went shopping with Laura Sargent, one of her best students and one living with her for many years in her home in Pleasant View and then Chestnut Hill. And they went shopping for chairs. I don't recall which house it was, whether it was the one she was in for so many years, which was Pleasant View, or after she moved to Chestnut Hill. But in any event, they went to shop for chairs and they were having an appointment with the owner of the store. And apparently, Mary Baker Eddy was not paying any attention to the conversation about the chairs. And after the conversation was over and they left, Laura asked her, she said, "Mrs. Eddy, you didn't seem to be paying any attention at all about what our conversation was about the chairs." And she said, "How could I?" Apparently, the man that was the owner of the store had a very unsightly thing on the exterior of his face. And so she was in consecrated thought about translating, interpreting who that really was and what their real appearance was, what their real being was. So she let her thought go to where the need was. And that's what we all need to do all the time. Mary Baker Eddy says that the difference between success and failure is often due to exactly what we're doing with the moment. And of course, that's a plural, moments, because a moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. What are we doing with our moments? She says everyone can do more. She was including herself. And look what she accomplished. She says everyone can do more. I can think back on any day that I want to and realize how I had unproductive time. You cannot accomplish what Mary Baker Eddy accomplished and have unproductive time. You must utilize what is God's gift to us, and that is time. God gives us the opportunity to do whatever we need to do. And we have one purpose, to glorify God. In other words, to devote consecrated effort to following the example of Mary Baker Eddy and Christ Jesus and other great messengers of God. How about when we go shopping? Do we give any thought to how that is under the control of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind? Can we whiz in and out of a store, finding everything we need quickly, checking out quickly? Of course, today they have these areas where you can do your own checkout. No waiting, just walk right up to a machine and scan it yourself. They have people there to assist if it's needed. This pandemic, by the way, was not designed to bring about efficiency, but it did. So many hours of driving to and from work have been eliminated. So many more people are working out of their homes. Believe it or not, in many cases, it's much more efficient than being in an office. It reduces the travel time, the expense of the fuel, the expense of the extra wear and tear on the car or vehicle, whatever you're using, the time, if it's much of a drive or you're going through public transportation, which can be a big waste of time, the traffic that is all around the industrial area or the business area where your office was. I'm sure they never dreamed that it would increase efficiency, but it has. There's a golden lining in every single challenge. They had an evil purpose for the pandemic. It's a genocide. They have poison in that vaccine. We have to do our protective work. If we were a victim of having it jabbed in our arm, if we're smart, we will do that. We will realize that the only control is divine mind. Divine mind is not of any substance except the purity of spirit, which is flawless, totally transparent. There's no magnetic stuff in there. There's no poisonous stuff in there. There's nothing. Every time we hear about a pilot passing on while he's behind the steering wheel of a plane with full of passengers, we should devote effort, just like Mary Baker Eddy did when she saw the need of the person she was there with to check for chairs for her home. We should do that with every incident that we become aware of where someone passed on or became ill or whatever. They have entire floors in hospitals that are devoted to euthanizing people, killing them, assigning it to COVID when in fact it is self-induced because we're complicit. We should say no, not me. Mary Baker Eddy said, no mas for me. That means no belief of life, truth, and intelligence and matter for her. She was not going to accept it, believe it, make it a part of her life, or permit it to even enter into her thought. If we're smart, we would do the same thing. We would say no. I don't know what your flexibility is in being able to live where you want to, but many people have that flexibility. They either work out of their home or they work online. Or they're retired, they can live anywhere they want. But I know many people that have moved away from the states that are trying or had tried to force them to take this so-called vaccine. The white hats, and I call them white hats because they're the ones that are working toward having their freedom recognized as being sovereign. Anyway, they are in a very well-organized group with a large military that is behind them. Everything here I'm giving you is public information. If you know where to get it, if you don't, contact us. We'll privately tell you. But many of the governors and other people have been executed, hanged. One was guillotined. The ones that were running these organizations that were forcing these vaccines and everything, the heads of them, many of them have been executed. The information was sent to all the major news media, but nobody will publish it. Well, the major ones won't. The conservative ones, there's one source in particular that gets their information directly from the military tribunals, and they publish it. Talk about control. A wonderful thing happened just in the last couple of days, and that is that the U.S. and Russia did a joint cooperation to take down a pedophilia ring in Ukraine. Ukraine is the corruption capital of the world. That's why they fought so hard to keep it going. That was the center of all the pedophilia, the gun running, the child slavery market, the adenochrome, all of this kind of garbage. The bio labs that produce the so-called viruses, that was the center. That was the world capital of all that corruption. And our special forces joined with the Russian special forces in the last few days. And they found one more dungeon where they were keeping these children chained to the wall. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Everyone is blind, deaf, and dumb. It's out there. The information is out there. Like I said, if you don't know where to get it, contact us. We'll tell you. It's public information, public website that reports the results of the tribunals and what they're doing. Our former president, who is really still officially the president, and the president of the other country just mentioned, have had many conversations since the military operation begun. There have been many children that have been returned to their parents. These are U.S. children that were kidnapped over there in Ukraine, or kidnapped and taken to Ukraine. We confiscated hundreds of them off of a ship off of the shore of San Francisco recently. We executed all the people on board that were enslaving these children. They picked them up off the street all around San Francisco and San Jose and Oakland. The police were all complicit. They were all getting paid off. The governor of California was executed a year and a half ago. They got a fake out there. We have to understand that there's only one in control. It doesn't matter what the topic is. We have to stick with that truth. We have to deny that there's any power apart from God, and we have to affirm that all power is in the hands of the one infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme mind. 7 times 3 is always 21. 12 times 12 is always 144. 13 times 13 is always 169. The math tables don't change. The principle of the divine system of metaphysics never changes. There's a formula. What is the formula? As has been mentioned already in this recording, the formula is we have to understand what are the facts about God. What is mind? What is classified as mind? No, spiritual sense is not a classification of mind. That's a classification of soul. We have to know that because soul means identity. We cannot identify things properly unless we understand that that's a function of soul. Mary Baker Eddy says we have to know the science. She said healing is a combination of spirit and science. Okay? We have to have the spiritual animus, and we have to know the science that is behind it. She's the one that explained how Jesus was successful in his healings. Wentworth Winslow is another wonderful one that did interpretation and translation of Jesus' healings. Stamp and Moss, two different individuals, they did an interpretation of every one of Jesus' parables, 41 parables. We have it all on the website. It's all there. It's under Jesus. The science. If we don't know the science, we're operating blind. It's like not knowing the math tables. But But you wonder why your bank balance doesn't, you know, your checkbook. Of course, people don't use checkbooks anymore. But, you know, they wonder why their accounting doesn't balance. Because they don't know how to add 2 and 2. Or 12 and 16. Or any other 2 numbers or 3 numbers or 4 numbers or whatever. They don't know how to add and subtract, multiply and divide. Or they don't even know how to use a calculator that does it for them. So they don't even have to think. They do not even teach math, reading, and writing in school. They've taken it out of the curriculum. This National Education Association is a bunch of corrupt people that want to control the population, so they are controlling the children. They're teaching them that the children can decide their own sex. Forget how you came out of your mother's womb. You want to be different? Well, you can be different. Just go in the other bathroom. If you're a boy, go in the girls' bathroom if you want to. That's the kind of garbage they're teaching them. Sodom and Gomorrah, could it have possibly been as low as where we are right now? It's hard to believe. We here at the Institute, when we hear of something new, lower standard, we are just in amazement again. Because we already thought we were at the lowest that it could possibly be. And then they come out with a new idea of lowering the standard of the morals of the children, which are going to be our future adults. The ones who will gladly eat bugs, own nothing, and be happy. That's the motto of the WEF, World Economic Forum. That's it. Eat bugs, own nothing, and be happy. Government will take care of you. Sure. Sure. The master takes care of the slaves, gives them just enough to keep them alive, and then beats them to death in every possible way that they can do it. Mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, you name it. That's what we're giving up. That's what the cost is. You want something for nothing? Yeah, what you'll get for nothing is slavery. That's what's free. Free is slavery. Is it free? No. The cost is the greatest cost there could be. You're giving up your sovereignty. Mary Baker Eddy said she could not have started the movement of Christian Science anywhere else in the world than America, because America had a constitution. Little did she know that about the time she said that, they changed it. You know, the original constitution, I think it was 1789 or 1790. And when the forefathers, you know, did it, they said, here it is, here's the republic. Can you keep it? Well, it was only the Civil War that took it away from us. You know, we were a bad manager of our money. We broke ourselves and went to England, the banking center of England, and got money. They said, yeah, we'll give you money, but you got to change your constitution. So they met down there in Georgia on the famous island, and that's exactly what they did. They gave away all of our freedoms in 1871. 1871, before the first edition of Science and Health was even published. I don't think Mary Baker Eddy was aware of it at the time. I didn't see her write on it. She did very vividly and strongly say how important the Monroe Doctrine was, and she worked for the temperate movement of getting people to stop drinking. And the Monroe Doctrine, that means that we keep out of these foreign wars, keep ourselves in the continent of the Americas. The Americas is our home base. That means Canada, the U.S., Mexico, down to the southern tip of South America, including all of Central America. That's America, the Americas. That is what our business is. And if somebody comes to attack it, to try to take it away, it's our responsibility to defend it. Otherwise, keep your gun in your holster. Keep your bombs in your storage area, whatever. Keep your airplanes within the Americas. Forget trying to go over there to all these other countries and control them, trying to turn them into what our corrupt intelligence agencies want them to be, which is slaves to them. We lost our sovereignty with the 1871 Constitution. Totally took it away from us. It's one of the things that the most recognized leader of sovereignty is doing, is he's working on restoring the original Constitution, along with a million other things that he's working on. But can we depend on an individual? Is our control dependent upon an individual or a team of people? No. Look in the mirror. Whoever is in the mirror, that's who it's dependent upon. We have to get our thoughts straight. We have to stick to a stand. We have to decide what the standard is. We have to stick to it. And we don't give it up for anything in the world or anyone. Period. We don't get out there with guns and weapons and bombs and try to do what all they did over the last 2 or 3 years and destroy cities and burn the buildings down and all that kind of stuff. No, that's all evil. That's all evil. That's a decoy to try to get our thought away from what they're really doing, and that is trying to kill everybody with their pandemic vaccines and all the other stuff, the lockdowns, trying to make you wear a mask. I mean, who wants to breathe the exhaust out of a car? That's what we're doing when we wear a mask. We're breathing our own carbon dioxide. You know, that is supposed to be for the vegetation. Vegetation takes in carbon dioxide and converts it to oxygen. It puts out the oxygen and we breathe the oxygen. So what do the corrupt people do? They cut down the trees because it's producing oxygen. They don't want to give us oxygen. They want to cut down the trees. They cut them down millions of acres at a time. The whole Amazon rainforest, they've practically destroyed. They went into Northern California city and a lot of beautiful trees, and they got rid of all the trees. Yep. We are asleep. I think it was Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, that said, the difference between success and failure in a country is that failure is when good people do nothing. They know it needs to be done, but they do nothing. Is that what we have been doing? Nothing? What are each one of us doing? What are we each doing? The Mary Baker Eddy Institute website has tremendous resources. Are we telling every single person that is receptive about the website? Are we encouraging them to go? They don't have to pay anything. If they want to get their feet wet and see what it's all about, fine. If they want to continue to just get everything for free, then they're not going to get much. Because that's what you get for nothing. You get nothing. But it's there. It's available. Hopefully they will get oriented to what the truth is all about. We preach the truth. We offer the tools that let you raise yourself up by your own bootstraps. There's no limit to what we promote because we promote the infinite. We promote the infinite. Infinite progression is concrete being. Doesn't matter what we want to control. We can do it. If our vision is failing, like I mentioned, if we hit our arm on the door, doesn't matter what kind of physical problem we have or what kind of a financial problem or what kind of a spiritual problem or relationship problem, it doesn't matter what it is, it all comes under the category that the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind is what's in control. And I covered briefly what each of the other six synonymous terms represent, and the four sides of the city, which are the operators. We have all the books and all seminars and everything that's available if somebody really wants to advance. But they have to be serious about it. They're not going to do it by dabbling and say, oh, okay, I read the lesson today. You know, I spent 30 minutes. One guy, I read an article a long time ago, and he says, well, the way I do the lesson is I speed read it like three times. Is that the way he wants his life to be? Does he want to speed through life and, you know, maybe pick up one or two good things and miss 98% of everything? Well, that's everybody's got their own salvation to work out. Mr. Rawson says everybody knows so little about God, don't try to tell somebody else what God is. Everyone has to find God on their own. Mary Baker Eddy has 100 pages from page 600 to 700 in Science and Health, chapter 18, the fruitage chapter. These guys healed 476 different ailments. It says by only reading Science and Health, but of course I believe that that was a serious study of Science and Health. In other words, they did not have a practitioner. Okay, they studied on their own. They were enlightened. They were restored in their thinking. They rejuvenated everything they ever thought about God to the truth and about man and their relationship to God. And they brought about healing. Healing things that they weren't even thinking about, but they knew they had a problem with. They were healed also. Solomon says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I think it was Solomon. Anyway, he certainly was one that did a great job of practicing it. He didn't ask God for wealth. He didn't ask God for anything except to be able to judge his people honestly and fairly. That's all he asked. But because he was asking only something for others, he got everything. Everything was dumped on him. I mean, he ended up, I think to this day, still being considered the wealthiest man in the world. And we have at least one that is a trillionaire. And he supposedly was wealthier than the wealthiest man in the world right now. The whole banking cartel. He was wealthier than they were because his was based on honesty. The banking cartel is based on corruption, slavery, control over others. It was sickening. Well, I dealt with it mentally, so I didn't let it sicken me, but it was very, very sad to see one of the most popular TV personalities to say that pedophilia was really good. And why do you think she said this? She said, because it makes the children feel good. Can you imagine somebody being at that level? Well, they're obviously mesmerized. They're mesmerized. You know, they're living on this adenochrome, which is a terrible, terrible thing, how they produce it. I mean, it's got to be the worst there is. Anyway, we have a choice. What do we want to do with it? Do we want to be controlled? Do we want to lose our sovereignty? Do we want to go over the cliff? We're on the edge of it right now. Or do we want to take control of our lives, take control of our consciousness, take control of all thought, speech, and action, and be a raindrop that starts a flood of truth to totally dissolve all evil? Just like the couple, they were robbed at gunpoint. They were serious Christian Scientists, and all they could think about was love. Even after the guy left it, with all of their treasures from their house. Well, I don't know, probably what he could carry, so I presume it was small stuff. But anyway, he left with everything he wanted, and they kept on knowing there's only love that's in control here, nothing else. Love. Love is the dominant factor. I don't know, maybe they thought about mind. But love is the lubricant. Love is the thing that will dissolve all friction. The guy came back after a few minutes, brought everything back. He said he was so sorry. He had no idea what possessed him to do such an evil thing, and he hoped that they would forgive him. Well, they never condemned him in the beginning. That's why he was transformed. That's why he came back. That's what we have to do with every evil thought. We have to transform our consciousness. We've got to think about the flawless nature of spirit, the spiritual basis of all sense. Mary Baker Eddy gives a few words in the Richard Oakes book on the Blue Book. We have a wonderful index. Just look it up. You know, spiritual sense or soul or... Anyway, it's around page 212 or 222. It's on one of those two pages, 221 maybe. In two or three words, she says what this... Mary Baker Eddy states what this spiritual definition is of each of the five senses. That's what we need to do. We need to think about that. Seeing is spiritual perception. Hearing is spiritual understanding. Are we doing the sorting so that we are perceiving the truth instead of what the vision is from a veiled dark glass viewpoint? Are we looking at a statue that is painted black so that we can't even see the detail? Or is it in its natural substance, whatever it is, marble or whatever? Are we looking at the fine detail of perfection? Or are we looking through a veiled view that's covered up with something that is trying to hide the beauty? We have to peel back the onion. We have to peel back the veil. We have to look directly at the truth. If we do that, we will have control of our life. And if we encourage other people, the best way to encourage anyone is to be the example. We need to be a shining light. Are we a shining light of the truth? Are we a shining light of sovereignty, of free thinking? And I don't mean to think about immoral things when I say free thinking. I'm talking about being free to focus on the truth. Mary Baker Eddy said that we may not be able to practice Christian Science because of the fact that the medical profession is so well organized. And of course, that, you know, Christian Science puts them out of business because they're operating on a so-called art. Medicine has never been considered a science. It's an art. An art. A very fluid art where the target moves all the time. I was involved with somebody that was really in serious need of something one time and many years ago, and I went to supposedly one of the top practitioners in the area, and he said, write down everything they tell you about the case. I said, well, that seems to me like that's making a reality out of it. He said, no. He said, you write it down, and you will see that they constantly change their opinion. It's this, and then it's that, and then it's something else. You see, there's no constancy there. There is no principle. There's no standard. There's no truth there. It will constantly change. At a very young age, I was in the military, very young, right out of college, and I learned it. I learned it right then and there from this wonderful practitioner. Another one I was involved with, had a belief where they couldn't learn. And they said, teach them how to read. I said, really? They said, yeah. And they had this beautiful set of books that were for, you know, a child. It went from like zero to very advanced. Beautiful set. I don't know, like 30 volumes, hardbound. Looked like they'd never even been opened. And they gave it to me as a gift to give to these people. So I told him, I said, this is the advice. Teach this person how to read. Teach your child how to read. Not only did they teach him how to read, they hired somebody to teach him how to play the piano, and they had a piano lesson every day. Every day. When I took piano, we, you know, me and my sisters, I didn't have any brothers, unfortunately, so I had three girls to fight when I was a little boy. Anyway, we all practiced an hour a day on the piano, and we had a lesson once a week for an hour. That's it. Well, these people gave her a lesson every day. She could play every hymn in the hymn book up to 3 sharps and 3 flats. Every hymn in the whole hymn book, you know, 400 and some pages in the Christian Science Hymnal. She could play every one. They recorded several. And to prove that this was how advanced this child was, that wasn't supposed to be able to learn anything, wasn't supposed to be able to ever learn to read or anything else. And boy, she's got a memory like a steel trap. She remembers things going back to her youngest childhood days. Every day, nothing can take away from her tenacity to study Christian Science. Every day. Her whole appearance changed. You know, she was born with a bone structure that gives them a certain appearance. And if one has any exposure to it, they can recognize people that have that belief. Her whole bone structure changed. Turned out to be a beautiful, beautiful, lovely girl. Yep. Acrobat. Man, she could do cartwheels. I mean, you know, she was she was a gymnast. Ride a bicycle, good as anybody. Had a great sense of balance. Pets. They had a couple dogs and a cat. And they got hamsters. I think that's what they're called, hamsters. She took care of them. Her total responsibility. She loved everyone, took care of them, mothered them, nurtured them. She would go into a Christian Science Wednesday evening meeting and give a testimony, and nobody had a clue that she ever had any kind of a problem. She would carry on a conversation. She took the scientific statement of being. I kept in very close contact with these people. And she took the scientific statement of being, and she could, if she had a problem, she would substitute that in the scientific statement of being. And, you know, the scientific statement of being is a lot of sentences. So instead of saying there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, she would say there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in whatever the ailment was, whatever the problem was. And she'd go through the whole scientific statement of being in a testimony. You know, everything for memory, of course. She had a great, great memory. Well, everybody does. We all have the same source. And so she would say that whole scientific statement of being, substituting the words, and instead of saying man is, she would say I am. I am the image and likeness of God. I am spiritual. I'm not material. Anyway, that was something that was learned in my relationship with them. And I've used that same thing. Very effective. Very effective. I knew a practitioner one time who I heard her I was attending a youth group, and she was giving them an experience about something. She lived down in La Jolla, California, where they had a tremendous fire, and she refused to leave her home. The fire was, you know, the fire department tried to force her to leave, and she wouldn't do it. And hers was the only house that was not touched. Everything around was totally destroyed. Her house was not touched. Her landscape, her yard, everything. It was totally intact. Because she didn't give up on the control, the idea of control. Anyway, she told about another instance where she went to see someone who was very ill. And the person couldn't see her when she got there, so they had a Sentinel article. This was many years ago, where the articles seemed to be really higher quality. Anyway, they had a Sentinel article, Sentinel there, and she went through it and she scratched out the individual that was in the article and put this person's name in there. Just put the name in there throughout the whole thing. And when she was done, the person walked out the door and was healed. She was healed. She was healed because she had been identified of being the one that was refuting the evil and was affirming the truth. Control. Where is our thought? Where is our viewpoint? If we want to change our experience, all we have to do is change our thoughts, period. That's it. Our thoughts are our experience. That is our body. Everything about us is a result of our thoughts. Mary Baker Eddy starts Science and Health with the quote from Shakespeare, "Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." I mean, she starts the whole textbook with that and a couple of other quotes. I mean, that's got to tell you how important it is. Just like the chapter on Christian Science Practice. She starts that with the healing of Mary Magdalene when she walks into the home of Simon, this Pharisee, where Jesus was being entertained. She starts that. So that means that forgiveness and love, that is the key to Christian Science Practice. Are we loving, just simply loving impersonally, everything and everyone, every relationship, all the time? Mary Baker Eddy said her greatest instantaneous healings, her most consistent ones, were when she got Mary out of the way. And when she realized that, she devoted time every day, several times throughout the day, where she did nothing but, she put everything else aside that she was working on, and she would do nothing but focus on the perfection of God in every thought, speech, and action. She would think about various things that came to thought, and she would devote perfection, the one word perfection, to be right there, omnipresent, in that particular situation, period. She said, that was my most successful healing events I ever had, when I did that consistently every day. Are we doing it? Are we praying ceaselessly? Are we utilizing the moments, the smallest measurement of time, for focusing on truth? No matter what we're doing, doesn't matter what our profession is, or what our avocation is, what our occupation is, what our activity is at the moment, are we relating it to the truth? Are we relating it to control by divine mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind? Mary Baker Eddy tells us that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. All substance, intelligence. That's our only source of substance and intelligence. Substance is of spirit. Intelligence is of mind. And on that same page, I think it's 575 or maybe 585 in the glossary. Anyway, it's alphabetical order. It's easy to find. Is good. Good. She says the definition of good is God, spirit. And then she gives the four omnis. Omnipresence, omniscience, omniaction, omnipotence. It's probably the wrong order. Doesn't matter. The point is that all of the omnis. And omni means one only and one only in all. No other. There's no other power because there's no other performance. Power is a measurement of performance. The only performance is the performance that is a result of, as was already mentioned, creative ability, capacity, capability, facility, functionality, and using intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And if we do all that and realize that the only substance is spirit, which is flawless, and the only sense we can have are the spiritual senses of soul, and the only principle is the system and structure of principle, which is based on spirit, and the only life is the life with the courage and the strength of the divine mind, the only truth is the consciousness and the motive of pureness of spirit. In other words, you see what I'm doing here? I'm combining the different synonymous terms with each other. The power of mind is this. The spiritual nature of the flawless nature of spirit is the pureness of the consciousness and the motive of truth. See, that's combining these. That's what this is all about. Everything is a big network. We are all brethren. Every synonymous term is a brother with the other synonymous term. All the redwood sequoia trees up in Northern California, northwest on the coast there, they're supposed to be the oldest and the biggest trees. Their roots are shallow. I mean, these huge trees that are 300 plus feet tall. And they're big enough to, if you drilled out the center of them, you could drive a car through, which they did to one that is named General Sherman. I drove a car through it. Okay, many years ago, drove a car, full-size car. Anyway, their roots are very shallow, but they bond together. They bond together. So if one has a problem, it gets strength from the other roots of the other trees in the same stand. That's what we have to be. We have to be unified with everybody of like-minded people, and we have to be unified with God. Everybody will get closer together if everybody is focusing on God, because we're all going in the same direction. So we will get closer and closer to each other in thought because we're all focusing on God, our central point. It's like everybody looking at the sun. Somebody in Russia, somebody in China, somebody in the U.S., somebody in South America, Australia, Japan, doesn't matter. If we're all looking at the sun, and let's say we can all see the sun at the same time, but what an example I'm giving is ridiculous, because some of us would be looking at the moon or a dark, you know, sky or whatever. But, you know, anyone that is looking at the truth is going to get closer and closer to each other, because that is the focal point. One thing to remember. There's only one controller, one director, one performance, which means one power, one creative activity, one action, one presence, one intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. Only one. And that's the one that is in control. As Mr. Rawson said, when he healed the man that had a load of rocks dumped on him by an animal that was pulling a cart and got excited and raised up while the guy was down back in the back checking out the tailgate. And he said, there is nothing but God. That's what Mr. Rawson said. There is nothing but God. And with that, the guy shot out like a rocket out from underneath the rocks, totally unhurt. That was it. The healing was all done instantaneously. And that was recorded by another practitioner who is also on our website, guy by the name of Spalding. And he recorded, he's the one that reported that. Mr. Rawson also discovered retroactive healing, where the healing would take place at a time prior to there being any work done on the healing. We have a treasure. We have the pearl of great price sprinkled throughout our website. If anyone is serious, they're going to be glued to the website. They're going to spend hours and hours and hours a day. God is all. There is nothing but God. Amen.